Good morning. If you want to make your way back in. I'll wait just a second and let a few more people trickle back in. As you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a time set aside in our country when we honor men and women in the military who have lost their lives in service to our country. My family is a Gold Star family, and I know that there may be others within this congregation who have lost loved ones in the military. And so we just want to take time this morning to acknowledge the sacrifice made by so many and to just say thank you to their families, and that we appreciate that we live in a free country where men and women have made the choice to go and to sacrifice their own lives. Okay. Well, we have a treat this morning. Logan Pulaski is going to speak this morning. You all know Logan by now. Logan comes from our Chandler location, and we claim he and Haley as well. They're part of both locations, and we are so thankful that they're here, and Logan has a word for us today. Yes.
Before we get into it, Marnie's going to stay on stage with me. We've been moving into the season where we participate in the reading of Scripture together. We're going to tweak it just a little bit. I have permission from Pastor Will to tweak that just a little bit this morning. And so what we're going to do is we are all going to stand together. So if you guys want to go ahead and stand with me. Instead of all reciting the Scripture together, we're going to read it on the screen. Marnie is going to recite our main passage. And then at the end, she's going to say, "This is the word of the Lord." And then we are going to respond with, "Thanks be to God." In older kind of denominational and traditional communities, the reading of the Scripture is a community thing. It's something that we all participate in together. So if you guys will humor me, we're just going to do a little bit of that this morning. So take it away, Miss Marnie.
Okay. Oh, I like that. I hadn't seen it ahead of time. Okay, we're reading out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, wonderful. Thank you, Miss Marnie. I have to say that one of my favorite parts of being part of this community is getting to go to church with Mike and Marnie Scobie. They are such massive blessings to this community. I mean, the Harpers, you got the Schatzes, Stephen, Becky, George, Mike and Carrie Pruitt, all of the leadership here is so vital to this community. They've done such an awesome job welcoming me and Haley, making us feel like part of the team here. All of you have just done, it's very meaningful to me the way that you have welcomed Haley. And your response to her leadership and the way that you honor her gifts is a big deal to me. So I just want to like give you guys a hand for that. We love being here. Just getting to be part of this community is such a massive blessing to both of us. So if you guys haven't noticed, there's a little bit of a theme going on here. And some of you might be a little bit confused. Let me get my scripture pulled up here. Who knows who this handsome fella behind me is? Tom Hanks. Haley's going to be sarcastic on the front row. This is Woody, and I'm glad that we have kids in here. We've got like kids, and then we've got like millennials, then we've got parents of millennials, or we have millennial parents who are a little bit more familiar with this. But if you missed the children's movie train in the mid-90s, early to late 2000s, this is Woody. He is from a series of movies called Toy Story, or the Toy Stories, if we get plural with them. And you might be wondering why Woody from Toy Story is on the title card of my message this morning. It's probably not super obvious, but Woody actually has a lot to teach us about what it means to live in the central truth that most Christian traditions would kind of agree that we live our life by. And that central truth is what Marnie was just reading up here. And it's a lot of text. That was a lot of verses, and it tends to kind of say similar things over and over. But the gist of it is that since the very beginning, we were created for relationship with God through Jesus, his son, and his death and resurrection. And so, what in the world does that have to do with Toy Story? Well, if you are unaware, Toy Story is about toys and their stories. Woody in particular, being the main character of these movies, has a lot to do with what I believe is the way that we are supposed to live in relation to that truth. Because Woody has a central truth that he lives his life by. He believes that his purpose and the purpose of every toy is to be there for relationship with their kid. He's very focused on how that plays out in the first three movies. Abby, if we want to go ahead and get into these slides, you guys bear with me and Abby today. I have a lot of these movie slides. It's going to be a marathon. We start this movie off. Woody is kind of the man, the big man on campus. He is the hero of all these stories that this boy Andy is trying to tell with his toys. Any game that he plays, Woody is kind of the main character, the hero, the leader. And so naturally, that translates to he has a very important leadership role with all of the toys in the bedroom. And so we open the first movie. Andy's playing with these toys. He's got, you know, the Rex, the green dinosaur. He's got Mr. Potato Head. He's got Ham, the piggy bank. Slinky, the dog. He's got this epic adventure story that he's playing out with them. And all of a sudden, his mom comes in. It's his birthday. They're getting ready for the birthday party. And so he quits playing. He runs downstairs. And so Woody is like, oh my gosh, I forgot the birthday party was today. We got to call a business meeting together. They might have been a little Baptist. If you know, you know. And so he gets everybody together, and he's talking about just kind of the business that the toys need to be aware of. Andy and his mom and his sister are going to be moving soon, and so making sure all your pieces are together, make sure you're ready for the move. They talk about make sure you have your moving buddy ready to go, want to make sure everybody gets to the new house in one piece. And then he kind of glosses over, oh yeah, and Andy's birthday party is today, which today isn't his birthday. His birthday is next week, but because of the move, they're having to move it up a little bit so they can have a birthday party for him. And the toys are understandably kind of anxious because what do kids most of the time get for their birthdays? New toys. And so the existing toys get kind of anxious about that. And Woody, as the leader in the bedroom, has to kind of assuage those concerns. And he's telling them, like, we know that we matter to Andy. We know that even if new toys come in, we matter to Andy, and our purpose is to be here for him when he needs us. whatever that means with all these new toys. And everybody thinks that's easy for Woody to say. You've got Mr. Potato Head. He's kind of the heel. He kind of gives it to Woody a little bit. And he's like, that's easy for you to say because you've been Andy's favorite toy since kindergarten. Like, no one's going to challenge you for this role that you have. And so they get the baby monitor. It's a very iconic scene. If you've seen the movie, I don't have a slide for it because I can only have so many slides, and I have a lot of slides. Sorry, Abby. But they get the army, the little green army men are going through the house, and they have the receiving end of a baby monitor, and they're marching it down the stairs, and they have the jump rope, and they're moving it down the landing, and they put it in this FICA, or ficus, I don't know. Haley's the plant girl. But they're going to spy on the birthday party, and the little green army men are going to report back up to the bedroom what the toy situation is. And so it's like, oh, we've got a lunchbox, we've got a board game, we've got bed sheets, and Mr. Potato Head is like, who invited that kid? Like, it's very good. But they think there's no more toys. Okay, we're going to be okay. Mom has a surprise present, one more toy. But everyone's so anxious that Rex starts shaking the table leg because he's so anxious, and the baby monitor falls, and the batteries come out, and they miss what that last toy is. And so they're waiting to hear, and they get the baby monitor back online. They're like, Andy's coming. And so they all have to go limp because the toys cannot come to life when they're in the presence of a human. That's like, I don't know what the code on that is, but they go back to ragdoll status when the humans come in. And so they come in, Andy kind of gets, or Woody gets booted off the bed, and they set this box down, and it is a Buzz Lightyear action figure. In this universe, there is a movie that Buzz Lightyear is an action figure from. Very cool. When I was a kid, Buzz Lightyear was him. He was the coolest guy around. I didn't really care about Woody. I thought he was kind of anxious and shrill and hard to relate to. As an adult, that's become a lot easier. But Buzz was the guy. And so, Abby, if we can, I'll do like an iPad swipe. So we've got Buzz Lightyear. He thinks that he has landed on some kind of strange planet because he's a space ranger. He is convinced that he is a space ranger. He kind of wakes up from the box thinking that he is the thing that he is a toy of. Other toys don't really exhibit that. That's kind of a weird thing to me. But Woody kind of climbs up on the bed. Buzz is like, strange alien life or whatever. And they're trying to welcome Buzz, like, hey, this is Andy's room. You're one of Andy's toys, trying to kind of give him the lay of the land. And Buzz is like, well, I'm actually a space ranger from Star Command. I'm on secret missions to uncharted space. He has this whole spiel that he does that Woody is like reading along with on the back of the box. But Woody's like, well, actually, you're a toy. This is Andy's room. We're all Andy's toys. I'm kind of in charge. Everyone's asking kind of what it means to be a space ranger, and Buzz is trying to explain it. Woody is getting very peeved at this whole situation. He's like, he's not a space ranger. He doesn't fly ships. He doesn't shoot lasers. He doesn't fly. And Buzz is like, well, actually, I can fly. And he does this like Rube Goldberg thing around the room where it kind of seems like he's flying. And so the toys are just like, wow, Buzz is so cool. Andy is like, wow, Buzz is so cool. And as we have a little montage of, Woody kind of taking a back seat to Buzz, and everybody kind of knows Woody's still in charge, but Buzz is the cool new toy, and so he's kind of taking over that role of kind of being the hero and the main character and all that, and Woody is kind of getting more and more steamed up over it, and he asks the Magic 8 Ball a question about the situation, and Magic 8 Ball says, don't count on it. And he throws the Magic 8 Ball, and it sets all these things in motion that eventually knock Buzz out the window of this two-story house. And everyone's like, oh no, Buzz. Andy comes in because they're about to go to Pizza Planet. And he's like, I need to bring a toy with me. I can only bring one toy. I'm going to pick Buzz. And everyone thinks that because Andy is so dead set on Buzz, that Woody has intentionally knocked Buzz out the window. It was an accident. But Andy comes in, can't find Buzz, and so he's going to bring Woody to Pizza Planet. Buzz has recovered from his fall out the window. He landed in the bushes, and he kind of stows away in the car while they go to Pizza Planet. But on the way there, they have to stop for gas, iPad swipe, and Buzz, isn't that cool? It's very fancy. But Buzz kind of shows up in the car, and Woody's like, oh, thank God you're okay. Like, you're saved. You can go back to the house and tell everybody that that was an accident. And Buzz is like, nah, I know that wasn't an accident. And so he tackles Woody out of the car. They're fighting under the car. And it ends with this scene of Woody just kind of losing it on Buzz. And he says, you are a toy. And it's one of the most iconic lines from the whole thing. But while they're under the car arguing, the car pulls away from the gas station. And they're lost. They have no way to get to Pizza Planet except for the Pizza Planet truck that is also getting gassed up. So they stow away in the truck. They get to Pizza Planet. They're trying, Woody's trying to find Andy, but Buzz is like, oh, this is a spaceport. I can get a ship back to my home planet. And he finds a crane claw machine that has all these little green alien toys. And because he thinks that's a rocket, he climbs into it. And Woody is trying to get Buzz to follow him back to Andy. So he has to follow him into this thing. And what we have is a, that's so, you're the best, Abby. He's so cool. And so Sid is this demented child. He's a little bit older than Andy is, but he's Andy's next door neighbor. The toys all know he's bad news because they can see him out in the backyard blowing toys up with firecrackers and setting them on fire with a magnifying glass, cuts them up and Frankensteins them together in weird ways. He's just bad news. And so he goes to this crane machine and sees a Buzz Lightyear action figure, which is a big deal. Ace at the crane machine, gets Buzz Lightyear, and because Woody's trying to get him to come with him, he hangs on to Buzz. And so these two toys end up in just about the worst place you want to be if you're a toy, is Sid's house. And so what we've got is they're at Sid's house. Woody's trying to come up with a plan for them to escape. Buzz is like, don't worry, I've got this. But while they're there, Buzz sees a TV commercial of a Buzz Lightyear action figure, and it says can't really fly, or something like that. And Buzz is like, oh no, maybe I really am a toy. And so we've got this iconic Randy Newman song while he's kind of come to terms with himself, and he gets up on the banister of this stairwell, and he jumps off, and he tries to fly. And because he is a toy and not a space ranger, he falls to the ground and his arm breaks off. And it's this figurative and literal crash for Buzz. And so we've got Woody, who lives his life by central truth. And now we've got Buzz, who also has been living his life by central truth. But what we now know is that Buzz Lightyear got caught up in his own perceived identity as a space ranger and sold out to the wrong truth that he had no value being a toy. And so he's kind of dejected. Sid's Frankenstein toys are very compassionate. They fix his arm. But Sid has it in his mind that he's ordered this giant firework. And so he straps it to the back of Buzz Lightyear, and he is going to blow up Buzz with this giant rocket. And Buzz is so let down that he's just accepted that as his fate. He's ready. He's ready to let the rocket take him. Woody is trapped in this crate, and he's trying to appeal to Buzz, like, hey, we've still got to get out of here. And Buzz thinks there's no point. And Woody kind of has to finally realize that it's not about him. And he's talking to Buzz, and he's, you know, you are a cool toy. The kid next door that we're trying to get back to thinks that you are the coolest toy around. And because Woody is now trying to appeal to Buzz, not from a place of, hey, you idiot, you're not this thing that you think you are, you're actually this thing, but what it means to be the thing, Buzz's eyes are able to kind of open up, and he realizes, like, oh, there's something to this, and they hatch this plan to get out. All the Frankenstein toys are kind of in on it. They all come to life in front of Sid, and they're kind of tormenting him because it's like, oh my gosh, they can come to life, and they're going to do bad things to me if I keep treating them poorly. So we've got, see, I might miss some of my slides here, Abby. This is my bad. We've got Woody just trying to talk to Buzz through this crate that he's locked in. We can go to the next one. There we go. And so they escape from Sid's yard. They're able to get back to Andy's house just as the moving truck is taking off. And so they're running, but Sid's dog is chasing after them. And so Woody has this great idea. He gets into the truck. He's got, Andy has this RC car. He kicks the RC car out of the back, and he's trying to go get Buzz with the RC car. But Mr. Potato Head thinks, oh my gosh, he's just throwing Andy's toys out more windows. They throw Woody out. And so Buzz and Woody are now trying to get away on this RC car. The batteries run out. They remember Buzz has this rocket on his back, and they use Buzz's helmet thing as like a magnifying glass to light the wick. It's so cool. But the rocket goes off. They're going. They're flying up the street. RC car's kind of getting lifted off the ground. They throw the RC car back in the moving van, and then we get this next iconic scene. It was part of every VHS like preview set for years. But now Buzz is flying. And Woody's like, oh my gosh, you're flying. And Buzz is like, this is falling with style, because that's what Woody told him about his Rube Goldberg flight around the room. But they miss the moving truck completely because they're aiming for Andy's van. They get back to Andy. Andy's like, they were here in the car the whole time. And everything's good. Woody and Buzz are friends. Next thing we know, they're settled into their new house. It's Christmas. Same situation. They've got the baby monitor, like monitoring the new toy situation. There's now a Mrs. Potato Head that Mr. Potato Head's real excited about. There's a puppy. You notice in this screen that Woody's got little kiss marks on him. That's because Bo Peep, the lamp ornament, has caught him under the mistletoe. Bo Peep is kind of his shawty. He is... You know, in as much of a way as toys can kind of be linked up, they're kind of coupled up. But they get this puppy, and they're like, oh, man, there's a puppy. And that's the end of the first movie. Everything's good. They're friends. Things are going well. So we move into Toy Story 2. This first one came out in 95. Toy Story 2 came out in 1999. I was very excited about it. We start with Woody getting ready to go with Andy to cowboy camp. He's talking with Buzz. Buzz is kind of going to take that lead role during the weekend while Andy's gone. You know, what do you do if the dog swallows part of you? Just little things like that. Woody kind of has to take on, or Buzz has to take on that leadership role from Woody while he's gone. But he's freaking out because he can't find his hat. And he's not Woody without his hat. He's stressed about leaving. He's stressed that he can't find his hat. And so we've got Bo Peep, his shoddy, trying to... he tells him to look under your boot because all of Andy's toys have Andy's name written on their boot. When I was in like middle school and I was going to church camps, all of like the kids' pastors talked about God's name being written on your foot. And when I gave this message in Chandler about a year ago, and I think a lot of people thought that's where I might be going with it. It's definitely not where I'm going with it. It's a good point. But Bo is trying to remind Woody that, like, with or without your hat, you are Andy's toy. Like, you are still Woody without your hat. It's okay. And Slinky finds the hat because Slinky is kind of still Woody's kind of right-hand man. Slinky's been his boy the whole time. Slinky finds the hat. Everything's okay. Andy comes in, and Andy's mom is like, okay, you got 5 minutes until we have to leave. And Andy's like, heard, I can play a full game in 5 minutes. So he's playing this game with Woody and Buzz, and Woody and Buzz save the day again, and he plays too rough, and Woody's arm rips. And Woody, who is already very anxious about his status and his usefulness to Andy, is understandably upset that his arm is ripped. Andy can't take him to cowboy camp now. He's going to fully rip while he's at cowboy camp. Mom's like, nah, we gotta shut this down. Puts Woody up on the top shelf. We'll fix him when you get back. But Woody is just fully distraught over this thing because he's already kind of in this weird mix of like not really knowing where he stands. He's recovered from the Buzz trauma, but obviously we know that because he couldn't find his hat, he was questioning his whole identity. And so while he's up on that top shelf, we get this nightmare that Woody has, where Andy comes back from cowboy camp, gets him off the shelf, and he says, "Oh wait, you're broken. I don't want to play with you anymore," and drops him in this trash can, and these broken toys form this demonic vortex that pull him back down into the trash can. And he wakes up and he realizes that Wheezy, the squeaky toy, has also been on the shelf because his squeaker's broken, and we're just one step away from the shelf to the trash. Woody's so freaked out. But Mom comes in. She's going to have a garage sale where her kids are at camp, and so she's picking up these toys to put them in a yard sale, and Wheezy, the broken squeaky toy, gets put in the yard sale box. And so Woody's like, "I can't let that happen." Woody's has a tendency to insert himself into these situations. And so he's running after, he's running down the stairs, and he gets to the garage sale, but because there's people there, he has to go down. And so while he's laying on top of this yard sale, Big Al from Al's Toy Barn is trolling this garage sale, and he finds Woody, and he already knows that Woody is a rare collector's item from a show called Woody's Roundup. It's a kid's puppet cartoon from the late 50s, early 60s. Woody was the star. He had this Roundup gang. One more. My bad, I put these in the wrong order. You got Stinky Pete, Jesse, Bullseye. They were part of this show. And how Buzz remembered the show the movie he was from, Woody doesn't realize that he's part of this bigger franchise. And so he's part of this collection that Big Al wants to sell to a toy museum in Japan. He's gonna make millions of dollars off this deal. Woody's like, "Oh no, I'm somebody's toy. I gotta get back to Andy." And so he keeps trying to escape. And during one of his escape attempts, the threads holding his arm on get caught on something, and his arm just gets fully ripped off. It's a cool parallel with like Buzz's arm falling off in the first one. Woody loses his arm in the second one. And so Al's Toy Barn is freaking out. He's like, "Oh, his arm fell off." Like, he was already broken. He's got a guy coming to fix Woody. And I think that's our next. Yeah, this is the best scene in any movie ever. This guy's fixing Woody. He's airbrushing him and like polishing him up. But the last thing he does is he paints over Andy's name on Woody's foot. And, you know, Woody's all fixed, but he's still trying to get away. And before he leaves, he talks to Jesse because Jesse's been in storage for a long time. She used to have a kid, but her kid kind of abandoned her when she grew up. And so listening to Jesse's story, he kind of comes around and he realizes, like, you know, Andy is going to grow up. Even if I don't break, he'll play with me until he doesn't. He's going to grow up. Maybe it is better for me to go and be part of this collection and go to this toy museum so that people can enjoy me forever, as long as that museum is around. And so he makes the decision to stay. He's going to go through with it. Buzz, in the meantime, has figured out who that man is, where he lives, has assembled the toys. They're going to go get Woody. And so they go check the store. He's not there, but they pick up another Buzz action figure, and he's kind of in the whole Space Ranger thing, and Andy's Buzz is just like, "Oh my gosh, don't tell me I was this, stupid." But they finally get to Al's apartment where Woody is being kept, and they're all excited. They're getting ready to get on the plane to Japan. And while they're celebrating, Buzz and the other toys bust in. And it's this showdown between the Woody's Roundup gang and Andy's toys. And they are like facing off because they're going to take Woody back. And Woody's like, "Hey, no, I don't. I'm going to go with them." And Buzz, it's this moment where now Buzz is having to hold Woody accountable to his identity. And he says, "You are a child's plaything. You are a toy." And Woody's response to that is, "For how much longer? One more rip and Andy's done with me." And I think that we all have encountered people like that who are reticent about this whole Jesus thing because the way it's been presented to them is that they are one mistake away from God being done with them. That's free. So We can move on to the next one. But Buzz is trying to appeal to Woody, and Woody's like, no, this is what I'm doing. So Andy's toys leave. They busted in through the air conditioner vent. They leave through the air conditioner vent, and Woody goes and sits down, and a clip from Woody's Roundup starts playing. And it's Woody, the puppet, singing You've Got a Friend in Me, the iconic Randy Newman title song for all of these movies. And he realizes, like, no, Buzz is right. The most meaningful thing I can do is not be a collector's item, because I was someone's toy before I even knew I was a collector's item. And just because someone else is telling me I have this value as this other thing, that doesn't cancel out what I know I already am. And so he runs the vent. He says, Buzz, come back. Buzz, come back. And so Andy's toys are trying to get back to him. And he's trying to convince the Roundup gang to come with him. He's talking to Jesse and Bullseye. And he's telling them, like, Andy's going to love you. He's got a little sister. Like, Cowgirl is going to be a good way to go. And Jesse and Bullseye are on board. And he says, what about you, Stinky Pete? And Stinky Pete is still in the box. He's never been opened. And when they turn around, Stinky Pete is not in his box. It turns out that Stinky Pete is the villain of our movie. He has been manipulating Woody and Jesse to try to make them think that, like, oh yeah, your kids gave you up. Your kids, you know, broke you, didn't care about you. The best thing we can do is go be part of this museum. And he was the one foiling all of Woody's attempts to escape, but nobody knew about it. But Stinky Pete's true colors come out. And it turns out he's very bitter about being Stinky Pete. Because he's kind of the comic relief character, he's kind of a goofball. He's not the main character. He's not even the sidekick like Jesse. He's not even the horse like Bullseye. He's just kind of this goofy character. And because we went to the moon in 1969, so all the spaceman toys became a thing. Not only were all the Woody and Jesse and Bullseye toys selling, but now he had to compete with these spaceman toys. And because he was Stinky Pete, kids didn't really want him. And just like Buzz, we've got Stinky Pete, who, there we go, never got to have a kid, so he became jaded, entitled, and sold out to the wrong truth that he's more valuable as a collector piece in a museum than as a toy. And so Buzz is trying to get in through the air conditioner vent, but Stinky Pete tightened it back down with his pickaxe, so they couldn't get in. They have no choice but to get put back in their cases. They're going to the airport. They're going to get on this plane to this museum in Japan. Buzz and the other toys are running through the airport. They're in the big, like, baggage claim vortex, and there's two identical boxes, and so they're trying to chase one and the other. They get Woody out, but Stinky Pete is like, no, you're not going to mess this up for me now. Rips Woody's arm again with his pickaxe and says he fixed you once, he can fix you again. You can go to Japan together or in pieces. It's up to you. But the other toys show up. They finally defeat Stinky Pete. He ends up with this in this bag with this girl who loves to draw and color and put stickers on her toys. And that is just the worst fate he can imagine, because he's been meant this whole time. And now if a kid enjoys him the way that toys are meant to be enjoyed, he can't ever be enjoyed as a collector's item. And so he's completely freaked out. But Woody is still trying to go save Jessie, because she got left in the box as it was being put on the plane. And so you've got this iconic scene with the plane taking off just as Woody and Jesse are getting off. Buzz is riding Bullseye. They end up, everything's okay. Against all odds, they make it back to Andy's house. And, you know, we've got our two power couples here. We've got Woody and Bo Peep. We've got Jesse and Buzz. And everything's good. You know, they're this family. They know that whatever happens, Andy's going to grow up. We can't avoid that. But we're just going to enjoy the ride. And so we finished Toy Story 2. In 2010, the year Haley graduated high school, and I started my senior year of high school, we get to Toy Story 3. Lots of time has passed, and Andy has grown up. The thing that Woody has kind of been dreading this whole time is now knocking at the front door, and no one really knows what to do about it. They hatch this plot, they steal Andy's cell phone, and they hide it in the toy box, and then they use the cordless phone, because this was back when we still had house phones. So they use the cordless phone to call Andy's cell phone, and Andy comes in, and he's looking for his cell phone in the toy box, because it's this last-ditch effort to get Andy to play with them one more time before he goes off to college. And it doesn't work. He gets his phone out. He tells his sister off to stay out of her stuff. And so it doesn't work. And Woody kind of has to address the toys that, like, we kind of knew this was a long shot, but we need to get ready for what's next for us. You can see there's a lot fewer toys. These are just kind of what has remained as Andy has grown up. You notice that Bo Peep is no longer there. That's going to come up in just a moment. But you can go ahead and move on. So they know, like, we're getting ready to go into the attic. We're getting ready to go into storage. What's important is that we stick together. So Andy comes in with a trash bag because he's a teenage boy, and they transport things in trash bags. And he starts putting all of his toys in the trash bag. They're freaking out because they think they're getting thrown away. But Woody, who has been set aside in the college box, sees that, oh, Andy is trying to set them in the attic. Like, yeah, it's a trash bag, but he's putting them in the attic. He just got distracted by something else. So Mom picks up the trash bag and takes it out to the curb because she thinks it's trash. And the toys are freaking out. They bust their way out of the trash bag, and they make their way to the car because some of the toys are being donated to this daycare. And Buzz is like, okay, we got to get in this box. Like, this is a better option for us. And Andy's like, no. Or Woody comes and he says, he was putting you in the attic. I saw everything. He wasn't going to throw you away. But they're not really convinced. They know that if they want to fulfill their purpose, which is to be played with, for their purpose is relationship with children, they need to go somewhere where they can be played with. Woody is just so hung up on Andy that he doesn't want that to happen. And so he tags along because he's like, daycare is an awful place. It's not going to go well. Tags along, and they get to this Sunnyside daycare, and it's a dream. Toys are getting played with. This guy, Lotso Huggin' Bear, he kind of runs the place, and it's just this utopia of playtime. And every year, the kids will get older, but every year there's going to be new ones, and they'll be here every day. We're going to take care of you. If you break, we'll fix you. We're all a big team here. And so the toys are convinced, like, this is going to be a great thing. But Woody's like, we are Andy's toys. Like, we've got to get home. And we've got Buzz trying to tell him, like, hey, our mission with Andy is complete. It's time for us to move on. And Woody can't accept that. And so he knows that he was in the college box. Andy still cares about him. He's going to go back to Andy's house. And so on his journey back to Andy's house, he accidentally ends up in this tree. And this little girl named Bonnie finds him in the tree and takes him back to her house. Now he's like, oh, man, I was trying to get back to Andy's house. That was going to be hard enough. Now I got to get across town. And so he meets Bonnie's toys. He's there playing with Bonnie. In the meantime, Andy's other toys figure out that this daycare thing is not everything it's cracked up to be. The kids are too young to be playing with them. This girl is using Buzz as a hammer to hammer these pegs in. It is just all heck is breaking loose in this daycare, and it turns out, oh, it's not so cool. But Woody he's like, I got to get back to Andy's house. The other toys decided to ditch. They're going to be at Sunnyside Daycare. And Bonnie's toys are like, did you say Sunnyside Daycare? Like, that place, like, God forsook that place a long time ago. And this guy chuckles, has to tell him the story that he knows Lotso. And Lotso is not what he's cracked up to be. He and Lotso and Big Baby belonged to this girl, and she was the best. They did everything together, but one day she fell asleep at the park, and when her parents picked her up to take her home, she forgot her toys. And so against all odds, they make their way back to the house, and the parents have bought another Lotso Huggin' Bear. He has been replaced. He convinces Chuckles the clown and Big Baby, we've all been replaced, even though it was just him. She doesn't care about us anymore. It's time for us to go out on our own. And this is kind of the point we see Lotso kind of break bad. And just like our last two characters, he had the best kid, but he got forgotten and became controlling and manipulative and sold out to the wrong truth that as long as he's in control, he can be happy. And that's the situation that he has at Sunnyside Daycare because he's in charge. He says, nope, you guys have to go to the room with all the little kids that are going to break you and play too rough with you. And whoever I say gets to go be part of the room with the older kids and gets to enjoy their time here. But because of that hurt, he now has to be in charge of the situation for him, just for him to feel safe. And so Woody knows that information. He gets back to Sunnyside. He's got to save Andy's toys. They confront Lotso as they're trying to escape. And Woody says, I know what happened to you. You lied to Big Baby, and you lied to Chuckles. It was just you that got replaced. And Lotso says, it's going to happen to all of us. We're all just waiting to go in the trash. They're having this discussion over a dumpster, which is really poignant. Like, we're all just waiting to go in the trash. Like, it's going to happen to all of us. And while he's on this tirade, Big Baby does the Darth Vader and the Emperor thing from Return of the Jedi, and Big Baby throws him in the garbage can. And while they're all trying to escape, Lotso grabs onto Woody and pulls him down into the trash can with him. Andy's toys try to save him, and they end up at this landfill. And trying to escape the landfill, they finally get in the incinerator, and they all come to terms, like, if we're going to go out like this, we're going to go out together. They're bracing each other, and just in time, the Claw comes down and saves them. And the little green aliens found the Claw, know exactly how the Claw works because they worshipped the Claw in the first movie, and they save the toys, and against all odds, they make it back to Andy's house. But Andy finally realizes, like, I'm grown up. Woody leaves him a note from his mom that says, hey, maybe you should donate these toys instead. I know just who you should give them to. And so Andy boxes up his toys, takes them to Bonnie, says, hey, I've heard that you're really good with toys. Can you take care of these for me? And he goes through the box and he pulls each one of those toys out. And even though he's grown up and hasn't played with these toys in God knows how long, he tells Bonnie about each of those toys and who they were in all the stories and what they do. And he sticks around and he plays with Bonnie for a little bit. And Andy's toys get to have that one last playtime with him before he leaves. It's very good, very emotional. Haley was graduating high school. I was getting ready to graduate high school. And that hit us really hard because, like, our childhood is coming to an end. And we thought this would be the last Toy Story movie, but psych, there was another one. And it came out in 2019, which doesn't feel as long ago as it is, but that's 5 years now that this movie's been out. Spoiler alert, I'm spoiling all these movies. If you haven't seen them by now, though, you're probably not going to watch them, so I'm not even going to apologize. But Andy leaves the toys with Bonnie, and now they're Bonnie's toys. And I know there's ways that that analogy can get weird, because they were Andy's toys, and I'm trying to kind of play out the relationship with these toys and Andy is our relationship with God. And just because they don't belong to Andy anymore doesn't mean anything. Don't let the analogy get weird. Stay with me. It's kind of getting late, out of time, but we're just going to power through this last bit. So we get to Toy Story 4. It starts with a flashback. They're playing outside. It starts raining. Andy has to come inside with Woody and Buzz, but the RC car has been left out in the rain and he's trapped in the gutter and they've got to get him out. And it's cool because this is post-Toy Story 2, pre-Toy Story 3. Andy is still a kid, but Jesse and Bullseye are there. And, like, this is Andy's toys at the height of their power. Like, this, they have this rescue operation to get RC out of the gutter. And just as they're getting ready to pull RC back in, somebody shows up because Bo Peep, who is Andy's sister's baby lamp, is being given to another family. Andy's sister is not a baby anymore. It's a baby lamp. It's time to pass it on to the next family. And so Woody doesn't want to let that happen. We've already established Bo Peep is his sweetheart. He doesn't want to let her go. But Bo Peep knows, like, I'm a baby lamp. We don't stay with everybody forever. It's time to move on. They have their emotional goodbye, and we see that what happens to Bo Peep between 2 and 3. Bo Peep gets given to this new family, bounces around from family to family because as babies grow, they don't need baby lamps anymore. Finally, she ends up at this old antique store because she's been through so many families by this time, and a family can't find someone to give a porcelain baby lamp to. And so they hawk it at this pawn shop, and that's where she is. Fast forward, we go to present day. Andy's toys are thriving with Bonnie. Everyone's having a good time, except for Woody. Woody has kind of been forgotten. He's relegated to the closet during playtime most of the time. Jesse has kind of taken on the sheriff role because a little girl is going to have a cowgirl as a sheriff. That makes total sense. But what happens is Woody, because he's kind of been relegated to this backseat role because Dolly is in charge of the room, he keeps inserting himself into these situations that he probably doesn't need to get into just because he needs to still feel useful. And so Bonnie is going to this orientation for her kindergarten, and Woody's like, well, maybe a toy should go with her just so she's not nervous. And Dolly's like, nah, if she takes a toy to school, she might get in trouble. It's better for us to just stay here. But Woody can't leave it alone. He stows away in Bonnie's backpack and goes with her to this orientation. And he's there when Bonnie makes Forky. Forky is a spork with googly eyes and popsicle stick legs and pipe cleaner arms, and he somehow comes to life because Haley says it's because Bonnie believed he was a toy. I'm like, I can believe a cheese grater is a toy, and it's probably not going to, like, spring to life. But however this works, Forky is alive, but he doesn't. It's kind of like Buzz, but just a little bit different, where he doesn't realize he's a toy. He thinks he's trash because Bonnie got him out of the trash because someone had super chili or something and then threw him away. And so they're going on this road trip, and Woody is having to babysit Forky because Forky's trying to throw himself in the trash, but Forky is now Bonnie's favorite toy. And so Woody is not going to make the same mistake twice. He's going to make sure Forky knows how important it is to be the favorite toy because he already made that mistake with Buzz. But Forky's like, no, I'm trash. Woody, all over the place, trying to keep Forky together. And so we move, and everyone sees that Woody is like, you're trying too hard, man. Let him go. Like, he's gonna, like, he's trash anyway. And Buzz is, on behalf of the group, is trying to talk to him, like, what are you doing, man? And Woody says, well, I have this inner voice that guides me. And he's talking about his conscience, but Buzz is convinced that Woody's talking about the pull string on his back that makes him say cool sayings. And Buzz is like, oh, your inner voice guides you. But Woody means his conscience. Buzz starts pressing the buttons that make him say his catchphrases because he thinks that's what Woody means. In the middle of this conversation, Forky throws himself out the window of this RV as it's driving down the highway. Woody's like, I know what I gotta do. Jumps out, goes to find Forky, is like, hey, I'll meet you guys at the campsite. So he's walking Forky home. He's trying to, like, fill him in on what's going on. Finally makes Forky understand, like, the feeling that you have about being trash is how Bonnie feels about you. And Forky's just mind blown. He's like, we gotta get back to her. And so they're on their way back to Bonnie, and they come by this antique store. And Woody sees a very familiar lamp, gets distracted, and he's like, well, let's just go in. Let's see what's going on with that. And so while in this antique store, they meet Gabby, and her terrifying ventriloquist puppet minions. They're already creepy, but the movie plays up how creepy they are just by doing that. And so they're hanging out with Gabby. She's like, I know Bo Peep. Like, oh, we're friends. Like, well, I'll take you to her. Starts having a conversation with Woody because she notices that Woody has a pull string just like her. Maybe they were made in the same factory back in the late 50s. Except her voice box is malfunctioning. Her record is perfectly intact, but her voice box is malfunctioning. Woody's voice box might work for her. Is there any way they can make an exchange? And Woody's like, nah, we got to get out of here. Nope, that's not how it's going to work. She's going to take that man's voice box. And there's this chase through the antique store. The ventriloquist puppets are running after Woody. They get Forky. Woody has to leave his arms behind because a little girl comes in and all the toys have to go limp. And the antique store owner's granddaughter finds Woody. And she's like, yeah, you can play with him. And so this girl takes Woody across the street to this park where he finds Bo Peep. who has been living at this park. Kids come and play with the toys at the park. They just get left at the park. And we find out that there are these toys that just live at the park. They're these lost toys that don't have a kid, but they still get to experience their purpose of being played with. We've got these Combat Carl action figures. We've got Giggles, the little Polly Pocket looking thing on her shoulder. And it's cool that they do this, but Andy's like, no, we have a new kid. We need to get back to our kid. And so Bo Peep is going to help Woody get Forky back. Buzz catches up. He picks up these little two stuffed animals that are voiced by Key and Peele. They're excellent. And the plan is they're going to get in, get Forky, and get out. But in the meantime, Forky has been getting to know Gabby, and kind of learns a little bit that she's been in this antique store for a really long time. Her voice box is broken, so she doesn't really get played with that much. But the antique store owner's granddaughter that just came in and found Woody is the ideal kind of little girl for her. She has this book that she comes with that teaches girls how to play tea time. There's a tea set, and she has this whole thing where, like, once my voice box is fixed, I will be ready to do what the book says for this girl to let me do tea time, and it's all going to go perfectly. That's why I need Woody's voice box. And Forky's like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's a good thing. And so Gabby understands she's different than the other villains because she wants to fulfill her purpose. She wants to experience what she knows she was made for. But the plan doesn't work out. More chase shenanigans through the antique store. Woody and Bo Peep have a disagreement because Bo Peep and Buzz are like, hey, we got to abandon this. We just got to get back. And Woody says, well, I don't know. You know, it's not something a lost toy would understand. And he and Bo Peep have a big disagreement. And Woody finally is just so dejected. He's like, okay, I'm going to give Gabby my voice box. And so there's this very disturbing surgery scene that's not at all like the second Toy Story where the old man is fixing Woody. Like, the marionette or the ventriloquist puppets are sewing Woody back together. It's very disturbing. But it's a successful operation. Gabby's voice box works perfectly. Everything is going well. And so she is ready to present herself to this girl. And so because Forky has developed this relationship with Gabby, he asks Woody if they can stay behind to experience this moment. And so the girl comes in and picks her up, and her grandma says, hey, that's been here so long. You can just take that if you want it. And she looks at her, and Forky is just like, oh, here we go. And the girl says, nah, and throws her in a box. And we have this moment where, like, this shot with the shadow over her face, you can still just tell how upset she is, where this thing that she is building up for so many years is not going to happen the way that she thought it would. And she is fully tilted about the whole thing. We've got Gabby, who almost had a kid for a long time, but became scheming and obsessive and sold out to the wrong truth that she won't have value or purpose until the antique store owner's granddaughter accepts her. And so because this thing has fallen apart, she has nowhere left to go. Woody says, hey, come with me. Bonnie's going to love you. We'll make sure you get to do that. And so Gabby says, okay, she's going to do it. They're trying to get through this carnival because they're going to meet up at the carnival to go back to Bonnie's. And on their way through, they find this little girl who's gotten lost. And Gabby has this pull that, like, that's my kid. Like, that's exactly my kid. And so they set her up to be discovered by this little girl. And the girl picks her up and pulls her pull string, and she says, hi, I'm Gabby, will you be my friend? And the girl accepts Gabby. Gabby gives her all the courage that she needs to go and find their parents. And even though Woody and Bo Peep have had a very fundamental disagreement about what it really means to be a toy, whether it's playtime or whether it's relationship with a kid, they agree that what just happened was a good thing. And so they leave Gabby with that little girl. They finally get to the carousel. They jump on the awning. And Woody has this pull that, like, my purpose with Bonnie and this extended purpose that I felt from Andy might not be what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. And he has this pull. So he says his goodbyes to these toys. He and Buzz have their goodbye. And he goes to be a lost toy with Bo Peep. And throughout the credits, you can see that Woody or Buzz you know, they're saying goodbye, and the toys are like, oh my gosh, Woody's a lost toy. And Buzz says, he's not lost, not anymore. And Woody and Bo Peep end up traveling with this carnival, and through the credits, you see them rigging all the carnival games so that kids are winning these toys, and these toys get to go home with these kids and experience their purpose, even though Woody doesn't belong to a kid anymore. Even though that very important part of his central truth and that tradition that he's followed about being there for his kid isn't what he's doing anymore, his purpose is still to make sure other toys understand their purpose. And so they disagree on some of the fundamentals, but they both know that what they're doing is good. The only other scripture I have, I know people are kind of tilted that it's mostly Toy Story, little scripture today, but my next scripture is Philippians 3, 14 and 15. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. There are certain non-negotiables to being a Christian, but there's a lot of little red tape kind of things that so many people get hung up on, and it's, oh, if we don't agree lockstep every step of the way, we can't do this. Will and I don't agree on everything, but we agree on enough of the important things that he's willing to share this platform with me and thinks that I have something that I can share with you. What is true is that we are made for a relationship with God through Jesus, his son, and his death and resurrection. What in the world does that have to do with Woody from Toy Story? How are we going to wrap this up? We got places to go. Point number one, you have to decide it's not about you. What Woody learns in Toy Story, messing with Buzz, is that it is not about him. It is about the Buzzes who are convinced they are something that they're not, and it's about revealing truth to them about who they are and what they mean to God. Number two, you have to decide that central truth matters even when more attractive options are available. You have to understand who you are, and just because someone else recognizes value in you doesn't mean that that's what you are. Be very careful of people who recognize your value, because they might be manipulating you to their own ends. Sometimes they're really good people, but be careful with people who recognize value and gifts in you. And just because they're telling you this thing is available doesn't mean that's who you are. Number three, you have to decide that central truth is still true even when it doesn't look like what you're used to. Woody had to be okay, Andy's toys had to be okay moving on to live with Bonnie, and that it still fulfilled their purpose even though Andy was what they were used to, even though things look a little bit different now. Number four, you have to decide that you're okay with following where that central truth is leading you, even when it's away from your comfort zone. Woody didn't belong to a kid at all anymore. He had to go and be a lost toy with Bo Peep, but what he believed was still true. Even though the way he interacted with it changed, he knew that his purpose was to make sure that other toys knew their purpose. And so, I know I've run long. I'm so sorry, guys. Will's not going to let me teach until next Memorial Day, so it's going to be fine. what we know is that things aren't always going to be the way they are. This might be as easy as it ever is again to be a Christian anywhere. And when elections don't go our way, and when the culture doesn't look like we think it should look, we have to make sure that truth is still true. We have to know that despite our circumstances and despite the traditions and the behaviors and the things that we want to keep, we have to understand that all those things lining up does not matter when what's true is still true. The church has survived a lot of cultural foolishness. There is nothing new under the sun. They used to feed us to lions. We need to get over ourselves a little bit, man. We have to realize that no matter what it looks like around us, that that truth can still be true, and that our purpose is for relationship with God through Jesus. And what we can learn from Woody is that when we're mature and we finally stop getting hung up on the little things, we can help other people understand that purpose. So I am gonna wrap up. We have prayer ministry coming up. If I know that not everybody here is a Woody, some people here might be a Buzz or a Stinky Pete or a Lotso or a Gabby Gabby, and you have these hangups about your identity or about the way you got hurt or the way that your life hasn't played out exactly the way you hoped it would. Please come and get prayer. That matters to us. And we want you to understand who you are and what your purpose is. If you are a Woody and you have the maturity to say, hey, I've been making it about myself, or hey, there are other really attractive options that are available that are gonna pull me away from my purpose, or hey, I'm really uncomfortable because life doesn't look like what I'm used to, or hey, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't think I'm brave enough to do it. Please come and receive prayer. That is what these people are for. It's not about judging you. It's not about wagging our finger at you because you're not where you should be. Just because I'm the one up here talking about this doesn't mean I've got it together. I'm still working on this. I have to drive up here to Stillwater every morning for work. And when I'm in school zones or behind slow trucks, you might wonder how I got to preach on a Sunday morning. It is okay to not be there. This is a journey. There's a reason there are four Toy Story movies, because Woody takes a while to figure it all out. Life is long, and it's gonna take us a while, and it's gonna take each other and us pulling that purpose out of each other to get this thing figured out. Okay, so will you stand with me? God, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for all the ways that you can reveal yourself to us. That everything that's true will point back to the word, whether it's a Disney movie or anything. That there are things that we can learn everywhere because all truth points back to you. Thank you for this time. Just bless these people and multiply their time back to them for how late I went. Make all the lines at the restaurants short today. Bless them going out, bless their weekend and this time that they get to spend together. Go with us, continue to reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys, thank you for bearing with me today. Give Abby a hand. Go get your kids, we love you. We'll see you next week.